Grace, mercy, and peace be to you from God our Father, from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. The Bible passage is 1 Corinthians chapter 5, and near the end, the Apostle Paul simply says, we are always of good courage. Yes, we are of good courage. We are confident as we walk by faith and not by sight. Yet times happen when that confidence can be shaken, there can be doubts and fears, and the courage becomes more discouraged because of what we see or hear or feel. Quite a few number of years ago, I was not feeling well. I woke up on a Saturday morning, and I knew I was not going to preach at Grace Chapel in Bellefontaine Neighbors that afternoon. I went and told my wife, Sue, we need to go to the emergency room because there was a pain in my lower back on one side that was nearly unbearable. So we get to the emergency room and we wait and wait and wait some more. Finally, the doctor comes in and he starts poking and prodding on my back and he hits that one spot. Ooh, there was a noticeable groan in that examining room. Says, I'm going to order an x-ray for you, and so it takes a while for the x-ray to be done, and then we go back to that examining room and we wait some more, and finally the doctor comes in. It is now in the afternoon, and he says, well, what the x-ray shows is that you have a mass on your kidney. But that's all we can see with the x-ray. We need to do an MRI in order to be able to tell what actually is going on there. And the person who does the MRI has already left, so we will need to schedule that for you tomorrow morning. I can tell you, you do not want to hear the words mass and kidney and a hospital stay because he was going to admit me and then needing to wait to find out what's actually wrong. A bit of discouragement, or fear, or doubt, confidence shaking, discouraged instead of encouraged. Certainly a moment like that. The Apostle Paul knows that our bodies will groan. At the beginning of this passage, he simply compares our bodies to tents. As a tent maker, he would know what happens to tents. They're not a particularly permanent or strong structure. Winds can come and blow them away. If they stay up too long, the material disintegrates, and then they are gone. Just much like our bodies. A few years ago, COVID hit. Now, we may not have been able to see that tiny little virus with our eyes, but we could see what it did. Well, over a million people die in our country. There are still those who suffer from long COVID, and the fear and the doubt can still be there when you hear that word COVID. People still die from it. Earlier this week, we prayed for Andrew Johnson, a pastor, a recent graduate from here, and his early 30s, he received that diagnosis of cancer many years ago, and it finally took his life. Maybe you know of a heart attack or heart disease or Parkinson's or some other affliction of the body. Or you can be in a grocery store, a Walmart, a movie theater, a school, a bank, at a concert, and gunshots will fire. And you could be one of the next ones on the floor in a pool of blood. But it doesn't have to be some of these really significant major diseases or tragedies. For many of us, it's just that our bodies wear out. And you get older. Now, I look out at many of these faces, and you're still young. You may not know this yet, but I am almost 68. It is time for me to cut back on my time here because I don't have the same amount of stamina, and I get tired in the evenings. The reflexes are slower. The muscles are weaker. Last Sunday for Easter, we had our son and daughter-in-law and our daughter and son-in-law and our four grandchildren over for lunch, Easter meal. Services ran late. We're finally sitting down. And my youngest grandson, who will be two next week, had had enough. A little cranky, and finally my son says, "You're going down for a nap," and he did not like that, and when we put him in the room for his nap, he was screaming, and I'm sitting at the kitchen table saying, "Hey, I'll take the nap. I'm tired." The body wears down. It grows old. It dies. And then what happens? With that sight and sound and touch and all that's going on with our mind, our bodies, tense, how does Paul say, "We are always of good courage, be confident, walk by faith"? And he knew what happens to the body. Earlier in 1 Corinthians, he had had a brush with death that shook him to his very core. He had been persecuted, run out of town, thrown in jail, faced death numerous times. His body was going. I'm sure he had hoped that Jesus would come back before it, but now he's really beginning to realize the end is happening, and he is soon to die. And with that in mind, he gives the Corinthians and us a better word, and the best word. The better word is that whether we live or whether we die, we will be with Jesus after our death. And then there will come a time that's the best, because there will be a resurrection of the body. Good to be in this life to serve the Lord. Better to be with him after we die and before he comes back. But the best is yet to come. That in-between time, a time where we are with Jesus, a time of peace and rest, that's about all we know. The body deteriorates. We can see it in a grave, or ashes in an urn, or lost, or decaying. We know what's happening to it. And our soul rests with Jesus. And that is better, Paul says. But what is best is yet to come. A very gifted writer by the name of Chad Bird writes for 1517. And one of his recent pieces had a title that caught my attention. It said, "I can't wait to get out of heaven." And what he was getting at is we become sloppy in our language about when we die, we go to heaven, and that's about it, and that's all we're hoping for. And he says that's not our Christian hope in its entirety. That's not the heaven we are looking for. And he gives this example. Suppose you have a house that's been built to your exact specifications by a wonderful blue pond, nice area, has all the creaturely comforts, everything you ever wanted in a home, and it's ready for you to move into it, but it's a two-day drive. So you spend the first night in a motel. And this motel is outside of the Rocky Mountain National Park. Grand vistas. The room is comfortable, a nice bed. Everything's been taken care of for you. But when you wake up the next morning, you're not going to stay in the motel. You're going to turn in the key. And you're going to get back in the car. Because you know there's a home waiting for you that's even better. And so he says, yes. That in-between time, like a motel room, can be wonderful. But the best is yet to come. Because on that last day, all of creation is renewed, and there is no more groaning, no more pain, no more death, no more disintegration, no more decay. And we rise with our bodies once again. Our eyes seeing colors more vivid than any rainbow. taste buds exploding with foods that we could not even imagine, smells, aromas. You can touch with nerve endings that are just alive once again, a face of someone you may know. And the sounds, music, lifting your soul to the greatest heights. And this we know because Jesus is the first fruits. That Easter meal with my family came after that Easter service. And Jesus has risen from the dead with body glorified. Mary's outside the tomb. He speaks her name, Mary, and she grabs hold of his legs. He sees the disciples in an upper room, and he eats a piece of fish to show them that he is not a ghost. He can let Thomas touch his hands inside and then say, "Blessed are those who believe even though they do not see." And he eats a breakfast on the beach with his disciples. Jesus, the first fruits, has risen from the dead. And because he has, we too will one day rise. And that's our permanent home, the immortality we put on over this body, that the earthly tent and groaning no more. But in eternity with Jesus. And yet, we are not there yet. We are still alive. And Paul says it is good that we are always to be of good comfort, good courage, and confidence as we walk by faith. And here's the lesson: seeking to please the Lord with our bodies. And sometimes that calls for courage in a world where the sanctity of human life is often thrown away. And so we do take a courageous stand for those who have not yet been born, or for the children in an inner city who cannot get an education, or for those who are struggling with depression and discouragement and thoughts of suicide, and for those who can no longer fully care for themselves in their old age. Or maybe it calls for a courageous stand in the midst of what's all happening with sexuality and gender and marriage. And we simply say it is a marriage between a man and a woman, and all sexuality, all nakedness is to be in that relationship and that relationship only, even though we live in really what is a triple X world. Calls for courage. But perhaps the greatest courage is to say no to even our own bodies. For the desires that we have that will not please the Lord, whether it has a desire for more or jealousy or an anger or the words that we want to use or the things we want to look at and have. Finally, the courage is to say no to some and yes to what pleases the Lord. And that's a courage that comes not from within ourselves, but from that promised guarantee spirit within, who works through his word and his sacrament to give us that good courage. Even when everything we see and hear can discourage us. Go back to that emergency room, the examining room. I said to my wife after the doctor left, "Please go home and get my Bible." And that night, I read Psalms like I had never read the Psalms before. And I read promises from the New Testament like I had never read them before. Was I scared? Yes. Discouraged, disheartened, fearful? Doubting? Yes, I'll admit that. Yet in the midst of that, that guaranteed spirit worked in me good courage to walk by faith. Now, as it turned out, it was not a cancerous mass of my kidney. I had an infection in my kidney, and the fluid had pushed the outer wall of the kidney away from the kidney itself and gave it an appearance of a mass on the X-ray. A significant dosage of antibiotics and about 3-4 weeks of staying at home took care of it, and here I am today. And yet I'll tell you, that night was one of difficulty to be of good courage. And yet the Spirit guaranteed it for me and guarantees it for you as well. It is good to walk by faith and not by sight in this life, to be of good courage, to do what is pleasing the Lord. It is better to die and to go and be with Him, and what is best is yet to come. And so, always, we are of good courage. Amen.